Broadcasting from the Prime Meridian Bank Studios in the capital city of Tallahassee, this is Front Row Knowles with Tom Block and Keith Jones. Front Row Knowles is brought to you by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way.
Good day, everybody. Tom and Keith Jones, KJ with you. This is Front Row Knowles. Keith, I'm still fired up about what I saw on Sunday night. We got a full show ahead. It'll be a good one. But how are you doing, sir?
I'm giddy. Is that appropriate for a 62-year-old, or is that dangerous to my health?
Probably both. I don't know if we should be fired up and giddy after a loss, because we're not into moral victories, as we talked about in our show after the game. But I went back and watched the tape. And one thing I don't think I commented on, and even though I was on the field and it was evident, the swarming nature of the defense was a little more evident when I watched the TV and the physicality of the game. So I felt better about the defense. Not that I felt bad when I left the stadium on Sunday night, but maybe more impressed aside from the bust early on. And we do have a quarterback question that we'll get to in this show. And there's also a question at center, not as to who's going to start, but we got to solve the snap issues, because you shouldn't be losing a game or a chance at the end of regulation because of a poor snap.
Well, you might have one a game, but when you have three or four or five, then that obviously becomes a problem. I, too, went back and processed, and if some cornerbacks make some plays, whereas in years past we were saying that they weren't in position. Well, they were in position, but now they got to make some plays. Did have the bust on the tight end. But I think, too, Coach Fuller, and they did an outstanding job about doing this, they set that defense to stop the run. They were going to make Notre Dame beat them with the pass, because they had a first-year starter. Now, he's plenty of experience. He's a transfer in from Wisconsin. He performed well. But you take something away, you give up something, you got to hope that what you give up doesn't beat you too terribly. And they took that gamble, and they did well on run defense, and they got some improvement to do on pass defense.
We will be joined by Bob Ferrante, our Osceola insider, later, and we'll dive into the quarterback question, which is the obvious one that we've had ever since last December when Mackenzie Milton transferred to FSU. We'll also hear from Wes Durham, who is the voice of the Falcons, works for the ACC Network. He'll join us next segment. He's calling the TV game this weekend against Jacksonville State. My question to you, Keith, the one play defensively, a bust is going to happen. But in the second half, the 3rd and 17, where Florida State sends six, and it's perfectly called by Notre Dame to execute the screen against it. What did you think about the aggression in that scenario?
I thought it was the right call. They called the right play to counter it. I mean, those things happen. You've got to take some chances. I thought that call was much more defensible than Coach Norvell going for it on fourth down, backed up. But either one of them are aggressive calls from a staff that's trying to get player buy-in, and I concede that and acknowledge that.
We'll talk more about the fourth down call. Mike Norvell addressed that on Tuesday when he was asked about it again. He's going to be assertive and aggressive on fourth down. There's no question about it. And even though Notre Dame scored, Florida State ended up tying the game. So we'll pontificate about that a little bit later on. Again, Wes Durham will join us next segment. Bob Ferrante from the Osceola is coming up a little bit later on. Florida State 0-1, but plenty to be optimistic about it. And we'll talk about it on this week's edition of Front Row Knowles.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck, when a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank, Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Bob Hobbs. We're always talking about getting your best deals, your best trade, and your best financing. But with these challenging times, we wanted you to know, if you can't make it in, we'll even bring the car to you, and we'll appraise your vehicle at your home or business. And for all our service customers that can't make it in, we'll pick up your vehicle, get it serviced, and bring it back to you. We just want to make it easy to do business. We appreciate our customers and want to say thank you for your business. So whether it's sales or service, come by and see us, or check us out at HobsonChevrolet.com. Buy and service your vehicle the Hobson way.
Front Row Knowles is presented by Hobson Chevrolet of Cairo, Georgia. Get your best deal the Hobson way. Now back to Tom and Keith.
Welcome back to Front Row Knowles. Tom Block, Keith Jones with you as we continue to talk Florida State football in the wake of a thriller of a game against Notre Dame. Pleased to open up that Earl Bacon Agency hotline, the Earl Bacon Agency, ensuring your future together. Say hello to a longtime friend of the program and friend in general, the ACC Network and the Atlanta Falcons, Wes Durham. How are you, sir?
I'm great. It's good to see you guys. Look forward to maybe seeing you in person this weekend.
Yeah, I'll point out for our listeners, Snake, that Wes will be on the TV call of the game this weekend, so he's headed to Tallahassee. General thoughts as you watched from your living room or sports bar or wherever you were. I know you were watching FSU Notre Dame on Sunday.
Yeah, I was first of all, I thought it was just an electric environment, which I anticipated. In fact, Mark and I talked on the show that we thought Blacksburg on Friday night and Tallahassee on Sunday night had a really good chance to take us full speed back into what we love about college football, and that's just the atmospheres and the environments. And clearly Blacksburg delivered on Friday night, and Florida State and Tallahassee was just sensational to see the whole thing happen. I was impressed. I and you guys see every game. I don't. I thought it's the best they played in 2 years, easy 2 years, maybe longer than that, Keith and Tom. But I liked what Coach Norvell has said leading up to the game. I thought the young guys that had transferred into the program, certainly Jermaine Johnson helped at defensive end. But I just thought you did a lot of things maybe you hadn't done in a couple of years a lot better than you had done it before. And that, to me, that counts in terms of the rebuild or the rebound, if you will, to what we've become Florida State being in the past.
Wes, I know the outsiders would look in and say, wow, they didn't do that good a job against the pass, but that was a really good performance against a very good Notre Dame running game. Mm-hmm. And I would suspect that was something that surprised all of us.
Yeah, no, I thought they defensively they handled Kyren Williams about as well as you could hope for. There were a lot of people watching that tape who want to know how in the world they handled him, because, I mean, we saw him last year. He was as good as this league had at times. And I think a lot of people gleaned some stuff from watching Florida State. And to me, that shows you what Coach Fuller's done to help that football team, to put those guys in those positions, to take advantage of Amari Gaynor and guys like that. But also, as I was mentioning, Jermaine Johnson, you know, Kier Thomas, guys like that, they were making plays the other night. I thought that was just a really nice step forward for that side of the ball too.
The old axiom goes that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one, Wes. So you're a neutral observer. How would you handle Florida State's quarterback situation?
They've already missed my chance. I said on the show, I just started – the first play of the game the other night, both of them would have been on the field. I mean, I would have gone full blow on it. I would have absolutely had Jordan Travis in a slot and Mackenzie Milton take the snap and then throw a bounce pass behind the line of scrimmage to the other guy, Keith. I would have done it all out. I'd the hell with the rest of it. I think you can play both, because I think – and it was funny. We were having a production meeting today ahead of Saturday night, and Roddy Jones made this comment, Tom. He says that there is a way, and you guys saw it with Georgia Tech. I mean, we used to have, you know, Josh Nesbitt couldn't throw it that well, but he was such an athlete carrying the ball, right? And then when Vad Lee kind of came to campus, when Tevin Washington was playing in Atlanta, Tevin Washington wasn't a great passer, Vad Lee was. I mean, you can do it if you have the mechanics around you to also understand. And Brian Kelly said it after the game. It was a big game plan because you had to do certain things for Jordan Travis. You had to do certain things for Mackenzie Milton. Now, I'm going to tell you, I love Jordan Travis as an athlete. And you guys remember we had that Boston College TV game a couple of years ago where he came in and lit it up. And, I mean, I've liked him since then. But Mackenzie Milton is special people now. He's a different dude. He wins. And I don't think people can forget that. I mean – he came right in, and I give Kenny Dillingham and Coach Norvell a lot of credit. That first pass, that was a pass he looked like he'd thrown a million times to Ja'Kai Douglas. I mean, just kind of that little soft rainbow out into the back quarter there. I love that throw. And then the one he made to Keyshawn Helton on the third and 11, that's just a major league throw right there. I mean, there are guys on Sundays that want to make that throw. But I'm probably in the minority here, Tom. I think you can play both, and I think you can be successful with both.
You're not in the minority on this show because I think they're going to have to play both. I don't know about Keith and I will talk more about this, but I think they're going to have to play both going forward.
Well, and I'm going to add this real quick. Look how many running backs you're playing. And I know quarterback's a different position, and everybody talks about the different personalities. I mean, you guys aren't immune to this conversation in Tallahassee. You've had situations where you've had one or two guys who were very similar and you had to make a decision or play them both. Look how many running backs you're playing. I mean, you're playing Corbin, Ward, Toa Fili, you know, DJ Douglas or DJ Williams, Ja'Kai Douglas. I mean, you're playing a bunch of different guys anyway at that position. Does it really matter who the quarterback is if you're going to roll that many guys through there?
The key to all that, Wes, and Tom and I have talked about it, I think you would agree as well as we know you, is how well the two quarterbacks get along. If there is ego involved, it doesn't work.
Well, I'm going to put you guys in the way back machine. Mack Brown's early years at Carolina, the 1-10, 1-10 to start. You guys remember that. And then they broke through, remember, and they beat Mississippi State, coached by Jackie Sherrill, in the Peach Bowl in Atlanta. And at that point in the season, Carolina was alternating quarterbacks between Mike Thomas, this big athletic kid, and Jason Stanisek, who for a while was Carolina's total offense leader all time. That's the best two quarterback situation I've ever seen happen in the ACC because both guys knew what their strengths and weaknesses were. All I needed to see the other night, Keith and Tom, was that scene with Norvell and both kids when they came off the field. And when I saw that scene right there, I realized that both those kids understand that they need each other. Now, I don't care, and I'm going to ask Coach this on Friday, I don't think they care what anybody else thinks. And if that's the case, that's a win for Florida State, in my opinion, going forward the rest of this year.
Let me go broader with the ACC here, Wes. Wasn't a great first weekend for the league, but more to the point, and you have a show daily on the ACC network, which I'd love to tell you every Florida State fan watches, but a lot of Florida State fans still have Comcast. So we're going to get that deal done. And there's five games this weekend, including the FSU game, that are on the ACC network.
Well, it's funny. A lot of Florida State fans don't have Comcast, don't see the show, but feel compelled to comment about the content of the show. So that's been fun for us, is to realize they're not even seeing the show and yet telling us they don't like what's on the show. So, but more on that down the road, I hope. I hope the Comcast deal does get done, Tom. And obviously, a lot of people in this country had the backhaul channel a couple of weeks ago where they were showing things on a channel that was labeled SEC, and yet it was ACC network content, and it was in the Northeast in Syracuse. I know they had it in Virginia. It was on in Atlanta. I heard from some people in Atlanta that day asking me, are we getting the show tomorrow? So I do hope that we're closer and closer to that deal. But, yeah, it wasn't a great weekend to start the season, but at the same time, it's just one weekend. And I couldn't disagree more with some of the narrative of the league is out of the race of the college football playoff. I mean, Clemson lost to a pretty good team. I mean, especially a very good defensive team. And look, the Carolina-Virginia Tech game was close. The Miami situation is the one that disappointed me, to be honest with you, because maybe I've been fooled too many times, but I thought Miami was ready to make the turn. I still wasn't sure that they were a contender in the Coastal. I think I saw a pretty good team Saturday in Pittsburgh that a lot of people are sleeping on right now. But it's not a great week so far, but it doesn't mean it's a bad year. It's just the first Saturday. And I was talking to somebody nationally last night, and I said, I'd rather have a bad week in week one than a bad week in week 11. Because week 11 will take you out of a lot of things if you have a bad week for a league. But it wasn't a great way to start, and a lot of people want to create a narrative behind it, but I'm not going to buy that until they show me the boards in early December.
Well, the book says if you're going to lose early, and I don't know. I'm not sure exactly who wrote the book, but most of the time it is accurate.
Yeah, it is, Keith, and I think that's a really good point. We saw, Florida State or Ohio State lose to Virginia Tech, a handful of years ago in week two, and then still find their way back into it, right? And I think that's certainly something Clemson can learn from. Clemson's really talented on defense. I don't understand the offensive line combinations that have not given them the results they're hoping for. Now, is that Georgia being really good the other night? That could be. But what it ultimately leads to, I'm not sure.
Talking with Wes Durham from the ACC Network. He'll be on the play-by-play call for Florida State and Jacksonville State this coming weekend. Wes, news a couple of weeks ago in the wake of Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC about the alliance of the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12. Seems fairly nebulous at this point. There's some concepts out there. What do you think it amounts to?
I think it amounts to quite a lot. I think a lot of it right now has to do with inside those conference rooms, though, Tom, to be honest. I don't think it's anything of hardcore. I do believe you have three guys that really, though, want to make sure that their voices and their constituency is heard. I don't think Jim Phillips, Kevin Warren, and George Klebikoff were guys that just wanted to be bystanders in the race to world domination by the Southeastern Conference. How's that? I think they were – I don't think they have such a broad-based constituency that I think that it was really important to them. And people say to me, well, why in the world are these three together? It's not real hard to figure out when you look at the membership of the Association of American Universities. These three leagues dominate that organization, and somebody – a lot of people have never heard of it, amazingly. And had I not worked at Georgia Tech a long time, I'm not sure I would have heard of it. But what I do know about that organization, it is, it's like the presidents and chancellors all join Augusta National, Keith, you know, and they're all a member of this organization. So when one person brings up an idea because they're in the club with the other people, they're more apt and ready to go ahead and buy in. And that's kind of what happened with this alliance. As I understand it, and I don't know if you guys have talked to Mr. Coburn or not about it, that some of these ADs have already had fairly extensive conversations about scheduling down the road. Now, whether that's football, basketball, baseball, who knows? But I think the fact that you've got that kind of cooperation going on. Bubba Cunningham said on our show, Tom, a couple of weeks ago that one of the things he finds really interesting is the ability to trade games. Games that are already booked for some school might be traded to create another one. And, of course, Packer loved that more than anybody else because he thought, you know, that just makes your wildest dreams of scheduling come true, and we could get marquee games a lot faster than what people think. And I agree with you, though. I think a lot of it has to do with just paperwork and boardrooms at this point. But down the road, I think when we get to media partners and the like, I think it could be really, really interesting and fascinating for us.
And Wes, Tom and I have talked about it, and I do think the scheduling is the positive or a positive, and I'm glad to hear about the swapping of games or the exchange of games, because that certainly would take care of some of the locked-in stuff. The other thing, though, is, you know, a united voice relative to the playoff, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever they stake they have in it, certainly 30, 40 voices are better than 14 voices.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so, and to me, everybody says, well, those three guys are getting together because they don't want it to be 12. We know what the basics of the 12-team playoff are. We don't know the in-depth details of this. And the other thing we don't know, guys, is how much money's involved in this. I mean, we can speculate like, you know, celebrity gossip columnists if we want to, but the money involved has to be there. And how many different media partners is involved here? I'm not going to be terribly surprised. And look, I'm employed by ESPN, but I'll say this. I'm not going to be terribly surprised if we don't have an NFL model around the college football playoff, whereas one year it airs on ESPN, one year it airs on, you know, Fox, maybe another year it's on CBS or NBC or who knows. I think that that's where college football wants to go. And when you think about it, whether you follow the National Football League or not, the National Football League has figured out a way, and Rich McKay reminded me of this during the preseason. He said, hey, remember, we find a way to be on ESPN, ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and coming soon, Amazon. That's five different ways that the National Football League is able to be on a television or streaming media partner. That's what college football probably needs to do, and I think we're all kind of hesitant to admit it. But when you look at their platforms, it's pretty hard to beat.
What's the biggest thing you're looking for this week in Tallahassee with Florida State in terms of what you referenced at Notre Dame versus what you want to see them do against Jacksonville State?
Well, knowing where they're going the following Saturday, And I think that ends up being a really big ball game, likely for both schools, both Wake Forest and for Florida State. I want to see the Noles take the momentum of last Sunday night and process it against a really good FCS team. I mean, John Gross has done a nice job in Jacksonville. You know, Zarek Cooper played at Clemson. He played here last year in the ball game. The idea that, you know, you've got a pretty good core group here to move forward, because I happen to think next Saturday for Florida State is the difference in winning 8 games as opposed to winning 6 games or 5 games. I think if you can go to Winston-Salem, and I know Wake Forest people – Wake Forest, really? Yes, Wake Forest. That guy, Dave Clawson's done a tremendous job with their program. You guys know that. I think if Mike Norvell's got this thing on any kind of blueprint for improvement, that ball game a week from Saturday is really important. So I really want to see Florida State take all of the positive from Sunday and take one more step with it before then you got to go on the road in the league for the first time.
Wes Durham from the ACC Network and the voice of the Falcons. Thanks for joining us. He'll be here this weekend and more Front Row Noles right after this.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your local independent Auto Owners agent is the Earl Bacon Agency. Call us at 878-2121 or visit us on the web at earlbacon.com.
Some battles are worth fighting. They build character and teach important lessons. Other times, the more we resist, the longer we stay stuck. When a simple change would change everything. Is your bank holding you back? Try my bank, Prime Meridian Bank. Changing is easy. We'll show you how. Prime Meridian Bank. Tallahassee, Crawfordville, and on the web at trymybank.com. Member FDIC.